Hello, welcome back to the OTech podcast. We are here today with Anna Bendo from OhioLINK. She is the Director of Affordable Learning Initiatives. Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Thank you for having me.
So obviously, affordable learning is a pretty broad term, but this is a big deal across the country, trying to bring down the prices of higher education and everything that goes with it. Can you kind of maybe break that term down a little bit and how OhioLINK's working with it?
Sure. So I'll first say that we were really intentional about picking the term affordable learning because it is broad and it encompasses a lot of things. But you're right in that the cost of higher ed is going up across the country, across the world, and we looked at this as one way that we can try to combat that and increase access to higher education in the state of Ohio. So affordable learning is looking at bringing down the cost of classroom materials, textbooks that could be, but it could be other learning materials that faculty use with students in the classroom. And it's one of those things that has been going up for, you know, the past 25, 50 years. The price of textbooks is really getting to the point where some students are actually making the decision to not purchase the book because they can't. Some students call it a second tuition. So even after you get your tuition bill, oh, then there's the price of textbooks as well. And it affects student success because if they're not purchasing the textbook or they don't have it when the class starts, or maybe they're purchasing an old edition because it's much cheaper, but then they don't have access to the same homework materials that the other students do. It really affects how well a student can do in a class. So what we're trying to do is come at this from a variety of different strategies and try to bring those costs down for students. So some of the different ways that we're doing it are by promoting the use of open educational resources to faculty. So open educational resources are resources that are actually free and openly available on the web for faculty to find and redistribute, remix, repurpose for their class so that it works with what they're trying to do in their classroom. So these could be open textbooks. So there are a variety of different open textbooks, like the full textbook is out there and available on the web. There are groups like OpenStax, OpenSUNY, and there are well-vetted quality textbooks available in not every subject, but in a lot of subject areas. It could also be course material. So maybe it's not a textbook, but maybe it's an ebook or homework materials or that kind of thing. So anything free and openly available that a faculty member can take, repurpose, and modify for their own purpose would be an open educational resource. But then there are a lot of other ways to make learning materials more affordable as well. So as you know, OhioLINK, for the past 25 years, has been purchasing library content on a grand scale. And this is all available to students who attend OhioLINK member institutions for free. So there are lots of materials through OhioLINK that faculty could use and replace their traditional textbooks with. So like I mentioned, ebooks. We have a lot of ebooks that faculty could look at and use and possibly replace, or even chapters of could replace other commercial textbooks that they have, or articles, just a variety of different library content that's available for faculty to use. Some other strategies that we're working on are trying to teach faculty and librarians how to find those resources. So like I said, I've talked about them, but there's a difference between talking about them and getting faculty to use them. So it's kind of that advocacy, awareness, getting the word out about that and helping people direct themselves to those resources in order to be able to use them with their students. So we're kind of trying to get at this from a lot of different angles and hopefully reaching a lot of people through that.
Yeah, before we started doing this, you were talking about ODHE's grant a little bit, and I was going to ask you about some of the strategies and initiatives OhioLINK is using. Does this fit in there? And if so, kind of explain that grant.
Sure. Thanks for asking that. So ODHE awarded a $1.3 million grant to a group of 18 colleges and universities throughout the state. And actually, it's kind of interesting how it came about because when they had, so this is an innovation grant that they were awarding, and there were actually three different groups that applied for things related to open resources. So Ohio State University applied for an innovation grant to be able to use open educational resources more at their regional campuses. And then Ohio Dominican University, which is a smaller private institution, applied for an innovation grant to create open educational resources for some higher level math courses. And then the Ohio Association of Community Colleges, along with 15 of their partner community colleges, applied for an innovation grant to create open educational resources for high enrolled courses in the state. So ODHE saw all three of these different grants. We're basically looking at the same types of materials, even though through different ways and different strategies and different audiences, but that they had the same goals, and so they put all three together. And they awarded all three a $1.3 million grant to do together. So as you can imagine, since those three groups are really different and had different goals at first, it was a little bit of a learning process to put it all together and rescope and figure out what they were going to do with all of those different groups. But so where it is now is they are working on creating course content packages for the 22 high enrollment courses in the state of Ohio. So they kind of packaged all of that together. And there are three different cohorts that they're doing this with. So cohort one is actually in process right now, and they're working on 7 of those high enrollment courses. And then cohort 2 will kick off in May, and cohort 3 will kick off in January of 2019. So OhioLINK is really trying to help support this grant by doing a couple of different things. We have created a website, an affordable learning website, and so we put a lot of materials for the grant up on that website. And so it's kind of our place to showcase what's happening, how to recruit faculty to get more involved with the grant, where they can apply for the grant, any news about it. It gives the faculty an area that are actually part of the grant to be able to share resources together. We have a database of materials there, an A to Z database, where they can start looking for OER or library license content that might work in their classrooms. So that's been a big push from OhioLINK's perspective of something that we're doing to help support that grant. The other piece that we're doing is we are working on creating a microsite through OER Commons, which OER Commons is this giant database of open educational resources. But one of the issues with it is if I type in Psych 101 because I want materials in that, I might get 4,000 hits. And it's too many, really, for a faculty member to have the time to sort through and figure out what might work in their course. So what we're doing is creating a microsite where we're going to put these course content packages that are created through this grant. And so they'll have been vetted by Ohio faculty, so they'll know the quality is there, they've been reviewed, and it'll just be a place to kind of narrow that really wide, broad variety of resources down to ones that they know will work in their class. And so we're going to put the course content that's created and curated through the grant, and then also after the grant is done, faculty from OhioLINK member institutions that are creating or doing other things with OER can also place their materials in there as well. So we're working on getting that site up and running right now. We're hopeful it'll be ready to go in late summer, early fall of 2018. So another project that OhioLINK is trying to help support the grant with and just the state of Ohio in general.
And the current website for affordable learning is simply affordablelearning.ohiolink.edu if anyone wants to check that out. This, as far as nationwide, I know that there are some other states that have initiatives and have had initiatives, but it seems like Ohio, with the help of OhioLINK and ODHE, might be sort of at the forefront of this. Is that correct?
Or? I think so. I mean, I can't speak, you know, as an expert on what every state is doing, but I have been having a lot of conversations with people from different states that have heard about what we're doing here, and they want more information. So, for example, I spoke with some folks from Alabama last week that wanted to know more about what we were doing in Ohio, and particularly OhioLINK. I spoke with some individuals from an Affordable Learning Commission in Pennsylvania. So I think one of the things that's unique is through this grant is all of these different types of institutions working together. I think that's a unique thing that Ohio is kind of at the forefront of. So to have a major Research One university working with 15 community colleges and working with a private institution as well is unique. So I think that's something that we're really at the forefront of. And I think that's going to be really helpful for people in Ohio and then obviously throughout the country as a model for partnerships and ways that you can move this work forward.
Yeah, and I mean, this is obviously a big deal in the state. In March, as part of the State of the State Day at Otterbein, there was a big panel OhioLINK hosted that spoke specifically about the initiatives OhioLINK is doing, but how people from all over the state at different universities are working. Can you kind of talk about what that meant and what you felt, maybe that discussion, how good it was to see all that come together?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the takeaways that I had from that was how big of a priority this is at the state level, state government as well. I mean, for the governor to want that to be part of the State of the State address, I think was made a big statement that there is a lot of interest and, I mean, even beyond that, they're willing to make changes to make these resources more available for students and to make learning and higher ed more accessible to students. So I think that was one of my main takeaways. It was really interesting, too, to see. It was a panel with a wide variety of expertise in this area, which was really interesting. I mean, you had bookstore managers, you had librarians. We had people from out of state who were in charge of comprehensive affordable learning programs at their institutions. We had faculty members. We had a researcher who's done research in this area. So to hear people speak on this topic from a variety of different perspectives and what's worked and what's not worked. Oh, and I don't want to leave out, there was also a really strong student perspective in that panel as well. So there was a student there who was talking about how this was really important to her, and she was a part of student government, and this is something that they like to work with faculty, they like to work with the administration on their campus. And so I think that big push from students as well, because students do have an impact on campus. I mean, they can help push this forward as well. So I think that was really interesting to see. And it was rewarding to see that these things that we think are important are also important across the state at a community level, at the government level, and then the people that were actually doing this for the students were saying, yeah, this is right. You're on to something here. So I thought it really showed that, that we're trying to make an impact in an area that's meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the student. I thought she was really interesting in mm-hmm. some of the points she made, but the overall point she made was continue to involve us because mm-hmm. this is a big deal. And when you look at some of the numbers, you sent me some stuff just over the last few months just of the soaring costs in the last 20 years of higher education. It's incredible. And I know this is the first step, maybe, mm-hmm. This is initial step, but do you have any thoughts on maybe how this is going to evolve? I mean, it's an important first step, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of work to do. Can you maybe talk to that a little bit?
Sure. So one of the main, one of our three areas of influence that I talked about was kind of this awareness and advocacy piece. And I think that is the piece that we really need to work hard on in the initial strategy of this, because the rest, we're not going to be able to continue to grow this unless more and more people know about it. So I think that laying the groundwork this year has been important. So it's been, we've been holding workshops and trying to get as many faculty and librarians and instructional designers and all the people who actually have influence over selecting course materials to these workshops. And we've had about 150 people attend them so far. But I think what we need to do from there is then take those people and have them go back to campus and talk to their colleagues and their administrators. And so I think it's that networking piece that we really need to work on to kind of get it to the next level. There are still lots of people, lots of faculty, lots of instructional designers and librarians that aren't completely aware of what we're talking about and what OER is and why would it be important for me. And so I think getting that word out and talking with more folks about it is important. And then growing our network. So we have this group of affordable learning ambassadors that started last summer, July, August time. And they have been trying to do this work as well in their individual spheres of influence. So we have people geographically dispersed throughout the state in different roles on campus, and they have been giving workshops and talking to people and giving conference presentations and spreading that word. So one of the things that we have planned as a next step is to have a summer, we're calling it an OhioLINK Affordable Learning Summit, and we're planning it for hopefully early August. And we're going to have our inaugural summit at the University of Akron. And we're going to have a day devoted to training leaders and advocates in this area. So maybe someone that has attended some of these workshops before and gotten really interested. I mean, I've had numerous people email me and say, this is actually something that I am interested in. I'm a first-generation college student myself, and this is something I want to get involved in. So I think those are the people that we need to take advantage of because they're passionate about it and they want to spread the word and talk to folks about it. So that first day will be aimed more at people that want to get involved at a leadership level, so training them to talk to people, training them about what the national conversation is and how they can learn more in that area, maybe groups that they can get involved with. And then the second day, we're going to do more of just kind of a general look at affordable learning and have a keynote presentation and some panels with folks that are doing this work on campus and lessons learned, that kind of thing. Or we really wanted to profile some partnerships with different areas on campus because that's where we're seeing success is if the bookstore, the library, and the instructional design team are working together. Oh, that's a really good way to get, you know, get faculty involved and say, hey, we can help you find the resources. We can help them put them into the course. And then the bookstore can say, oh, if your student wants to print it out, we'll print it out for $20. So it's those kind of partnerships that I think are initiating success on campus. So we're excited about that summit. So that's kind of a next step to get people involved and to keep the ball rolling, to not say, this was a one-year initiative. Okay, we did it. We brought the cost down. We're done. So, yeah, that's one way we're thinking to keep it going.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to get involved, is the best way to get in touch with you or get to the website and just kind of read up on it? Or
definitely. Either way, they can go to the website, which you said was affordablelearning.ohiolink.edu, and my information is on there. Or we have an Afford Learn listserv, so they could also send me an email and I can add them to that. There are a lot of really great conversations going on that listserv with other individuals in the state that are doing projects or initiatives on their campus. I think also just if there's someone on campus that you know that is a leader in this area, reaching out to them as well and saying, hey, I want to get involved. What can I do on our campus to kind of get these initiatives started?
Okay. Well, thank you, Anna, for joining us today and giving us some great information on a very important initiative.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you. Thanks.
And for anyone who is interested in getting involved in affordable learning, definitely check out OhioLINK's website, affordablelearning.ohiolink.edu, or you can follow OhioLINK on any of their social media. They do a great job with their Twitter. It's just @OhioLINK. They're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Thank you very much.